Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation. It is either November or December of 2025. And what a mess it is out there in the real world. So I am going to say this. Do not donate to the Dork Forest this month or next month. If you do donate, I will donate your money to the LA Food Bank, which is fine. But what I'd love you to do is to find your local food bank. And you can do that by going to feedingamerica.com. I think it's org, or you could Google the name of your town and the words food bank. I believe in all of you, and donate as much as you can to the local food bank this month, the next month, and ongoing if you can. But I mean, I appreciate all of your donations, but it's a real mess out there right now. So if you can help your neighbors, that'd be great. My website, of course, JackieCation.com, still available to watch. I'm doing a new album this year. It'll come out actually in 26 and a new special. I'm touring. That tour information is at JackieCation.com. My merch is there. It's got Dork Forest merch. It also has stand-up merch is at JackieCation.com. Dork Forest, where you can watch the videos and you can watch, you can listen to the audio, especially, I guess, whatever you like. You can join my email list, where you'd scroll all the way to the bottom and then sign up. Harder to get on it than to get off, since there's an unsubscribe on every episode. And also a link to my other podcast that I have with Lori Kilmartin, where we just talk about stand-up comedy and celebrate it and bitch about it. But this is the Dork Forest. And so let's get into it. Let's dork out, you guys. Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation. I'm back. Did we miss me? Sure we did. What the heck? My guest this week, Catherine Waka. That's right. I don't know her either. Let's do this. Let's find out what the dorkdom of Catherine Waka is. Catherine Waka, you should know, is a musician because she has a band camp. And that's exciting. Catherine is spelled with a C, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. And by the way, there is all this is going to be in the notes. Waka is spelled with an H, W-A-C-H-A. And it's catherinewaka.bandcamp.com for the music, right? Does that sound right?
Yes. Yep, that's right.
Good. And then the Instagram is just at Catherine Waka. And we are going to dork out about a little known, and that is not a short joke, even though that guy would not stop with his own short jokes, Paul Williams. Remember Paul Williams? He wrote so many songs. That's all I know about him.
Yes.
Paul Williams.
Paul Williams is a national treasure and should be respected as such. He is, I got, quote unquote, introduced to Paul Williams by a friend about 15 years ago when he had me watch a movie that's directed by Brian De Palma. He directed Carrie. A lot of other great movies, but that's like the easiest one to say for people to know. It's this movie called Phantom of the Paradise, and it's a take on the play Faust and Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, it's a mashup?
Yes, and it's not really a musical, and it's not quite a rock opera, but it's somewhere in between. And Paul Williams.
What's it called? Phantom
of the Paradise.
The Paradise. Okay.
It is a delightful movie that when it started, I thought, why am I watching this? I hate this man for making me watch this. And then like within 5 minutes, 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes, I went, oh my God, this movie is perfection. And Paul Williams plays the villain in it.
Oh.
And dresses like a little tiny lesbian for the entire movie, like an angry lesbian villain. There's actually a picture of Paul Williams in one of his costumes for that movie where Hillary Clinton, when she was campaigning, wore a very similar outfit and they had very similar haircuts, and it is amazing. But not only did he star as the villain in that movie, he also wrote all the music. So he would act during the day and then do a lot of drugs and stay up all night and write and record the music.
What?
Yes.
First of all, let's talk briefly about how much drugs people did. He did a lot of drugs, did he?
Oh, he did. He did a
and
lot of drugs.
What year did Phantom of the Paradise come out?
It was the late 70s, 74.
Oh, wow. Early 70s.
Early. I thought it was later than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
It is just, it's a, the songs in it are amazing. He has.
Is it surreal?
Song, a little bit. It's definitely not based in reality.
Sure.
Like, but, some,
like 74 like, was a really trippy year.
Yes. Yes, Brian De Palma was not on drugs, to my knowledge, when he was directing it. But it kind of seems like he could be. He could have been.
And it could have just been casual drugs, which at the time was probably
true.
LSD.
Yes,
That's a casual drug for the early 70s, yeah. As far as I can remember.
I
was just a child,
that.
But I remember other people around me being very, very high.
Yes.
So, very weird.
Yes. Yeah, he, so I watched that and was like, oh my God, I love this man. This is incredible. Thank you so much for introducing. And then I learned he wrote the song. He wrote, We've Only Just Begun and
right.
Rainy Days and Mondays for the Carpenters. Well, he actually wrote the songs for himself and then the Carpenters covered them. He said,
okay.
He lucked out that the 70s was a decade of cover songs. Said it didn't matter if you released the song. 6 months later, another artist could release it.
Oh, six. Really?
It would be steady.
Is it that kind of turnaround?
Yeah, sometimes it was. And We've Only Just Begun was actually written for a car commercial.
Oh, my God.
The chorus, We've Only Just Begun to Live, that was part of the commercial. And then he thought, well, if we just write another verse and a bridge, we've got a whole song. So then he finished the song.
So Paul Williams, I know him from game shows in the late 70s, the middle to late 70s.
Yep.
Was he, so he was a musician and a writer and an actor.
Yes.
And obviously, clearly a drug user.
Yes.
But, okay, I might have to pull up like some deets on that guy. Like, when was he born?
So he was born in 1940.
Okay.
And the reason his height is he's I think he's 5'1 or 5'2.
Okay.
I know that because my wife and I had the pleasure of meeting him at a screening of Phantom of the Paradise.
When?
15, like probably shortly
is he
after.
Dead?
No, he's still alive. There's actually a documentary on him called Paul Williams. I'm still alive. It's a great documentary. He comes off as a bit of a curmudgeon, which he's actually not, but he,
or maybe he is. I mean,
maybe he is.
Was he super nice when you met him?
Oh my God. He was so nice. I have a Phantom of the, this is actually a Phantom of the Paradise shirt. This is the Phantom's mask.
Oh, that's, it looks like an owl.
Yes. I have, two other ones and I had a different one on it that actually had a little tiny Paul Williams up on the breast. And he had never seen the shirt before, so he took a picture of my shirt.
Okay.
He was so excited. And he chatted with us. He signed, I actually have,
his autograph?
Yeah, I have his autograph on Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. He wrote the music for that.
What is it?
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Who are Emmett Otter?
Oh my God, you've never seen Emmett. Oh my God. It's a Jim Henson production.
Okay. Emmett?
And
how are you spelling Emmett? Is it E-M-M-E-T?
Yep.
And Otter? O-T-T-E-R?
Yep.
Christmas?
Jug Band Christmas.
Jug Band Christmas.
Yes.
And it's a Muppet thing?
Yeah, Jim Henson did it.
Well, thank you. I'll be watching that later this week.
Yes, it's a delightful. I would love to hear if you like it because I love
it. And Paul Williams wrote the music for that.
Yes. That's when I realized I've loved this man since I was a child, but I didn't know it.
Right, right. It's hard to know. Like, I'm about to do Paul Williams wrote what? And then we're going to just, you keep telling me.
Yes, so that's when I learned that I had loved him forever. He also wrote two songs Three Dog Night did. called Old Fashioned Love Song and Out in the Country, which Paul Williams' version of Out in the Country, or sorry, of Old Fashioned Love Song is one of my favorite songs of his.
Okay.
Because there's a kazoo solo in the middle of it. And you can hear when the kazoo solo stops, whoever's playing the kazoo laughs. Because you hear, at the end of it. They're clearly laughing after they're playing it. And it just delights me. I was listening to it this morning. it just makes me so happy.
Wow. Okay. There seems to be, we've only just begun.
Yep.
It just keeps going.
Yep. He wrote You and Me Against the World. What was that?
You and Me Against the World.
Yes.
He clearly wrote the soundtrack for Bugsy Malone.
Yes. Yep. That's a weird one where like adults are singing, but children are in the movie. It's really weird.
I never thought of it that way, but in a movie like that, the children should definitely be singing.
Yes. Also, the children are the gangsters.
Oh, what?
Bugsy Malone is like a children's gangster movie that I want to say Jodie Foster is in. I've actually only ever seen clips. I have a friend who got me a copy because it's unavailable. shocking. The children gangster movie is unavailable. But that's a weird one.
Yeah, that does sound like a weird one, but he had it to do, I guess, huh?
Yes.
He's doing conventions because he was just at one in 2022.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
He was born in Omaha.
Yep.
He currently lives here in Los Angeles, California.
He has a beautiful view of like a bay or some docks
or something.
Some
sort of body of water.
Yeah, because he'll take pictures from like his back window and it's just.
Wait a minute. Is he on the Instagram?
He is on Instagram.
And do you follow him on the Instagram?
I do. And I've tagged him in things a couple times where he's replied.
That's very funny.
Yeah. He's one of the nicest guys you'll meet.
And it's funny about, because it, like, if you talk to him about it, like, whenever anybody, and I am obviously not famous, but people who are fans, as we are all, like, I once asked Alec Trebek for a picture. Because I was like, I don't ask anyone for a picture.
Yeah.
But you're Alex Trebek.
Yes.
I found it the other day. And I was on my phone, deep in my phone. And I was like, should I repost this? Because he's passed away now.
Yeah.
And that's a famous person.
Yes.
Anyway, but whenever anyone asks me can I have a photo? I'm like, attainable goal. Yes.
Yes.
So I'm sure Paul Williams is like, yeah, no. That's why I got into the industry for some attention.
He was so fantastic. Like, I was so nervous. They had a Q&A and I was so nervous. I couldn't think of a single question to ask him.
Right.
But then we went up and
if you could ask him right now, what would it be?
I think I would ask him how he went about writing. And in Eminem's Jug Band Christmas, there is there's two songs. It's called Our World, and another song is Brothers.
Okay.
And there's a talent show, and the mom is singing Our World, and the son and his jug band are singing Brothers.
Okay.
And then at the end, they're walking home on the river to go home, and she starts singing her song, and then she points to the boys and has them come in. So she's singing her song. He wrote two songs, complete separate songs at work, that then they meld together to make one song.
Oh, wow.
It is magical. And I would love to ask how he did that.
But the one thing is like, I mean, what would be the answer? I mean,
I don't know.
There were two songs and then they're one song.
Yeah,
I mean,
but like,
you just,
did he write them together and then separate them?
Oh.
Because, if you don't know it's coming, you would have no idea these two songs are going to work together.
Oh, really? That's how different they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
One is a jug band song, like a bluesy-type jug band song, and her song is this very... He writes a lot of schmaltzy pop songs, which I say with the biggest amount of love. And Our right. World is a schmaltzy love song about there being enough room in the world for everybody.
Ah, very
and
sweet.
And how, like, everybody can help each other.
Right, right.
And the other one is like
brothers?
This.
And his brother's like, about fighting?
No, it's just like, it's like this boom song. And then it's, it does say like how much alike we are. Perhaps we're long lost brothers.
Okay. So the themes are comparable.
Yes.
Just because that is his theme.
Yes.
If you think about the music that he's written, he's just like, hey man, let's just all get along.
Yeah. Rainbow Connection.
Yeah, that's right. That's he wrote Rainbow Connection. Mm-hmm.
He said that he always thought he was going to write these like hard rock songs. And then
really,
yeah. And then what would come out were these schmaltzy love songs. And it's funny because I always wanted to be like a rock musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I do songwriting challenges in February. You write and record. It's FOM. You write and record 14 songs in the month of February. And wow. I'm constantly like, I'm going to write this. And then I'm like, here's another love song for my wife. Wrote another love song about my wife.
That, first of all, is adorable. And second of all, hilarious. You're just like, I just keep liking her.
Yeah.
It turns out. And then when I'm going to write something, I'm going to write about how much I like her.
Yeah. So I'm like, I set out to write this like deeply political song, ended up a love song for my wife.
I wonder if Jesse Wells, you know, the new Bob Dylan
guy, yes.
Jesse Wells. Yes. So he kind of looks like Jim Morrison, but he looks like Bob Dylan to me, or he looks like Jim Morrison, but sounds like Bob Dylan.
Yep.
I have that face thing and I don't know anything about music, so I could be entirely wrong. Everyone else is going, no, Jackie, he looks like Paul Williams and he sounds like Elvis. So, I wonder if he, when he writes his political songs, he's like, I was trying to write a love song for my girlfriend.
That would be amazing.
That really would.
Yes.
I'm wearing my I Cheer for the Marching Band shirt.
Nice. Nice. So, that is awesome.
Speaking of weird t-shirts, guys, go to the YouTube. Good times. And right. So if he's written just hundreds of songs.
Yes.
And he seems pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently 85 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's a successful life.
Oh my gosh. And I don't know why I haven't bought it yet, but he wrote a book with someone else about like recovery to help encourage people. And I know he's made appearances at like AA meetings to help the AA organization because he lost easily a decade to 2 decades to drugs and alcohol.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
When I discovered him, I went, this is so sad. Because
right.
the world was robbed of at least a decade of music he could have been producing because he was just down in a hole.
But when you think about the 100 songs that he has written, I think,
oh, my God, what a gift.
Right.
Yeah. And
he wrote all junked up and then he got sober or
yes.
got clean.
Yep.
And using a 12-step program, which are free, look mm-hmm. into it if you got yep. some issues, people. And then and then he wrote a bunch of stuff
yes.
when he was so. I think he needed both. I think he needed to
yes.
be junked up, and then I think he needed to be all sober.
Because yep. it was Jim Henson that gave him his chance again once he was sober. He asked
oh.
him to write the music for the Muppet movies.
Oh.
And then he did M&R's Jug Band Christmas. He also did A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
He wrote
that.
A Muppet's Christmas Carol?
He wrote all the music for A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
And Muppet Christmas Carol is my favorite Christmas movie.
I love...
It might even be my favorite Christmas Carol.
I love version. That one
yes.
so much. You have Michael Caine playing it dead serious.
Totally serious.
Like, you can have fun with the Muppets. I'm going to play it as serious as a heart attack.
I don't think you understand. I'm Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes.
And he cannot sing.
No.
But there he is singing anyway.
Yep.
And then, I mean, not that the Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol isn't fun.
You love that one, too. That's a fun
It is fun. But as far as I feel like, just genuinely, to digress briefly, the Muppet Christmas Carol might be the most true to the book that I've ever read. And it made me read the novella just because I was like, I bet you this is the most accurate.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's missing, I think at the back end of the book, in the novella, he does get to meet the girl that he let go when they were children, when they were young. So, but I don't actually, you're going to want a second source on that. Right. That's my dodgy memory. So he wrote the Muppet movie. He wrote the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yep.
He wrote this Emmett and Otter.
Yep.
He did Bugsy Malone.
Yep.
He,
Phantom of the Paradise,
which is
all of his albums too.
Right. On top of him writing just albums where he's singing and then people are immediately going, well, I would like to do that.
Yes.
So covering him.
Yes.
And so, why is he, maybe he lost everything. He might've, like if he's doing a con, you know?
So, you know, I find that some of them really just do it because they want to meet people.
Right. I mean, but it is a bit of a grind. You know, I have a friend who does the voice of Naruto and she says she makes a great deal of money, but it's a good 8-10 hour day.
Oh, I have a friend that does them because she was in one of George Romero's movies. And she has told me, she's like, I'm so exhausted. I made more, the last convention she did, because I made more money in one day than I ever made in an entire convention. It's just getting crazier and crazier.
Right, right. It's getting bigger. That's what Miley Flanagan said about she's like, it's sort of coming together. Probably because everyone who watched Naruto is now pushing 40 and has disposable income.
Yes.
So they can raise the prices or they can get her to do other things for money.
Yes. Yep.
Maria Bamford does Cameo.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And I was like, no, are you doing it for the money? She's like, I do it if I need extra money, yes. But what I really like about it is sort of the one-on-one part of it. And she'll also do, if you're broke, she will, it might take a while, but you can just say, hey, can you just say happy birthday to me?
And, oh, my God.
Because if people pay, she puts a little writing into it.
Yeah.
But if they don't pay, she's like, it's going to be real basic, I'm afraid. Oh, but I will say hello.
What a wonderful human being she is.
Right? Right? I mean, I was like, that's all people really want is for you to say their name out loud and acknowledge they exist because you've changed their goddamn lives.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, did Paul Williams, have you seen him on the game shows?
So I have watched I love old game shows. Like
right.
I was
really
a
good
game show network junkie. And I have seen him on some of them. And
right.
It was funny because when I would tell people about, I'd be like, yeah, Paul Williams. And they're like, I feel like I know him. Like, if you watched any game shows in the 70s, you know who Paul Williams is.
You would know who Paul Williams was.
Yeah.
It was just for it to, but if, are most of his albums kind of schmaltzy too? Like,
oh God, yes. Yes.
He's been married 3 times, supposedly.
Yes. He was married to, his first wife was Kate Clinton, the comedian.
Wait, the comedian Kate Clinton?
The lesbian comedian Kate Clinton, yes.
I have her, I no longer do, but her first album was pressed under red vinyl.
Whoa!
Yeah, my sister got it for me because I was doing stand-up comedy. My sister is a lesbian person.
Yes.
She's also just a person. And then, which is very funny because at the time when my sister came out, it was, she was like, I don't really want to tell people this only because yes, I'm gay. I'm a lesbian. We can talk. You want to talk about the politics of it? Sure.
Yeah.
But in my life, it's not all of me.
It's the least interesting thing about me.
That's what she said. And so anyway, so I don't mean to, but she bought me the Kate Clinton album because Kate Clinton, super political.
Yes, yes.
And I think writes for the Progressive or the Nation or something like that. And he was married to Kate Clinton?
Yes. So when Anita Bryant came out with her big anti-gay thing, Him and Kate Clinton took out a full page ad in some newspaper against Anita Bryant. And then decades later, he had a daughter who came out to him and he gave her a framed copy of the ad he took out. Because when we met him, his daughter had just come out to him. And like at the time, she's my girlfriend, but my wife now, we're talking and my wife never would be like, oh, I'm her girlfriend. And she's like, oh, I'm her girlfriend. And I was like, what? That's a weird way to introduce yourself. And he went, right. Oh my God, my daughter just came out. And then like, we had a whole other conversation with him about his daughter being a lesbian.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is, first of all, Kate Clinton. So when were they married in the early 70s?
Yeah, it was the 70s.
And it was before she.
Yeah, 71 to 92. They were married 21 years.
What? Yeah. Okay. I don't think I knew. I know I didn't know that. And
that blew my mind when I found that. They have a son who's an actor.
Okay.
Which right. I texted my wife when I realized what he was in. He was in an indie movie called Race You to the Bottom with an actress that we like. I texted my wife. I went, oh my God, your son is in this. And she wrote, yeah, we knew that. And I went, well, I learned it again today. And I'm equally excited as the first time I learned it.
Every time I learn something, just as happy as I was the first time I learned it.
Yeah.
Or annoyed, depending on what I've learned. But so how many kids does he have? I wonder.
I think he has 3 or 4.
Okay.
I don't believe he has any with the third wife.
Okay, probably for the best because he's getting older. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sperm. Yes.
Yeah. Don't want to die without your sperm.
Well, and I think that it's just like the older you are and you keep doing. Yeah. Anyway, so you don't have to have all the kids, is what I'm saying.
No.
It's there's plenty of people on the planet. It's great, but. Lori Kilmartin keeps texting me. Stop texting me. I'm trying to look up Paul Williams things. And so he's married 3 times. Did he marry anybody else who was famous that ended up being gay?
No. I think he married some famous person's daughter for his second wife, but she wasn't famous herself.
Okay. Yes. So his first marriage, 1971 to Kate Clinton.
Yeah.
In 93, he married Hilda Keenan Wind.
Yeah, she's from
daughter of actor. He didn't win.
Yeah.
And then that person has a character actor. Win. Look at that guy. You know what he looks like? He looks, again, I have that face thing, so we don't know. Let me tell you, Keaton Wynn in 1916 to 1986, he looks like Odenkirk, Bob Odenkirk. And... which is just sort of a pretty straight white guy looking.
Yeah.
And, but there you go. But he was a character actor. And now Bob Odenkirk is a leading man.
Hmm.
Weird.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. But so he's all married. He's all successful.
Yep.
What are your, I don't know, 5 favorite songs of his?
So. I did write them down.
Let me move these items out.
Let me move this stuff and go to my notes. So in Phantom of the Paradise, there's one song that opens, the song Goodbye Eddie, and that which is like a greaser type song. It is watching Phantom of the Paradise is amazing because he gets to write in so many different genres.
Oh.
So it starts with like these greaser guys singing like a grease type song. Then this
Like 50s. Bop kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then this guy comes out and he does this song Faust. And it's just this man with a piano, this like nerdy looking guy. He's playing this song that is just absolutely beautiful about like heartbreak. And I laugh every time. We usually watch this movie on my birthday. We get a pizza, we get root beer, and we watch this movie. And every time I laugh because they wheel him out and he's playing and no one's paying attention to him and they're doing stuff for the next act. And I laugh and go, this was me literally every time I played a show. Just playing for myself and no one gave a shit. This is why I don't play shows.
Right. I was going to say, that sounds like live music. I've always found that to be singularly rude, and yet something I also do occasionally, where I'm not paying attention to the musicians. I'm treating it sort of like background.
Yes. Which is really easy to do.
Yeah.
It's a song about like you're having a dream and like,
but it's symphonic. Like it's just a piano.
It's
like,
just piano. And Paul Williams does a version of it too. That is very good. But, I am a big fan. The actor Bill Finley is the one who sings it in the movie. He plays the Phantom in the movie. And, it's just like, you can just feel the heartache. And there's a point in the song where he says, it's like, all my dreams are gone and I can't sleep, and sleep alone would ease my mind. And it's just like, you're like, oh my God, this guy is just pouring his heart out. Meanwhile, they're like putting signs up and stuff and just completely ignoring him. And Paul Williams does a great job capturing that emotion too in his version. It's really good.
It's just a really good song.
Yeah. Okay. It's just a great song. I was working on trying to cover another song from that movie called Just the Hell of It, which is a more aggressive song. And I couldn't figure out how to make it work, just one person with a guitar. And then I moved to Faust, and one of my friends said, they're like, well, that is the better song. I was like, yeah, it's not as fun, but like it is much better a song. The hell of it.
By the way, I am talking with Catherine Walker, who has a band camp. So go check out her music. And it's catherinewalker.bandcamp.com. And she's on the Instagram at Catherine Walker. It'll be in the notes. We're at the 30 minute mark. You gotta pipe up.
I'm a regular listener.
You're aware.
I'm aware
when it's happening. Sure.
My next favorite is Old Fashioned Love Song. And it is, it is another one that you're like, oh, this is like, one, it's a song about writing a song.
Is it The Three Dog Night?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like coming down in three part harmony and like singing about how I love songs like that. Like, Elton John, Your Song, like stuff like that, where you're like, oh, you're singing about the creation of this song. It's real meta.
Right. It's super. It's a nesting doll of its own.
Yeah.
Of its own. It's like doing stand up about stand up. It feels.
Yep. And it has that hilarious kazoo solo, his version, which just pleases me so much.
That's so great. So those are three. And is old fashioned when he does it. Old Fashioned Love Song, is it on his albums? Does he have studio musicians, or is it mostly just a piano?
It's studio musicians. It's full big arrangements. And he's had a couple of collaborators that'll show up as co-writers. The most recent one's name was Chris Caswell. And he's actually in the documentary. And when they're talking to him, they bring up his drug, his past, his drug addiction. And the guy cuts him off and goes, I'm not going to talk about that. That's not what this is about. I'm here to talk about his music. When I talk about his music, I'll talk about his music, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And completely redirected. And he was polite about it, but he was like, that's not the story I'm here to tell.
Yeah. Fair enough.
The other one is A Little Bit of Love, which is a beautiful song that starts out like she's the type of person, or the type of woman who thinks about the forest when she burns a piece of wood. And like how like you think of bigger things when you're doing these little things, and the chorus, part of the chorus is every act of kindness is a little bit of love you leave behind.
Okay.
And it's just such like a deep, beautiful song that like I had listened to it doing the background music thing a lot, and then one day I like really listened to it and I went, oh, this song describes me. Like, I think about all that stuff. Like, there's a thing about, she says goodbye to houses when she leaves them for good.
Okay.
And I was just like, wow. This man captured me completely in a song.
Right. She's the kind who says goodbye to houses when she's leaving them for good. Thinks about the beauty of the forest when she burns a piece of wood.
Yep.
Says hello to strangers and every hungry stray weighs on her mind. sees good in everybody that few of us would take the time to find. She says every act of kindness is a little bit of love we leave behind. Aw, I got a little bit of goosebumps. Because that is, I mean, you could make fun of this guy, but this is a perfect dork forest topic. Because this is something you can unapologetically also love and go, it is schmaltz. He knew it was schmaltz.
Yep.
But it is also fucking true.
Yeah,
so there you go.
I used to do some songwriting circles, and we would be asked questions, and one, you know, we'd be asked, oh, you know, who are your biggest influences? And I would be like braced to be made fun of, because I would say usually my number two is Neil Diamond, because I love an anthemic song, and he sings everything with so much feeling. I said number one is Paul Williams, and I always expect you to get made fun of. And I did it the one time, and the one guy looks at me, he goes, good songs are good songs, man.
Right. Right. And the, you know, anybody, like when you think about how in touch with his own emotional honesty that he has to be, even when he was, you know, and maybe possibly because he was on LSD or junked up or whatever, but just the ability to just admit that kind of emotion.
Yeah.
And sing about it. And then, because I mean, there's so much, like you meet like these tough guys who love a movie, who love a song like this. Right. And they love all these tough guy movies and all this tough guy talk, but then their favorite movie is like the Muppet movie, or their favorite, you know, their favorite thing is, you know, and it's not, it's schmaltzy, but it's not untrue. It's not saccharine.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's you could get a, you could fall into it easy, I think.
Oh yeah. And like,
if you weren't sincere.
Yes. Yes. And like, you can tell he means everything. And if he doesn't, he's a much better actor than you would think he is, because it really feels like he means everything he says.
Right. Right. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's what, you got another one?
Yeah. Here's another Fine Mess, which is a song about a breakup. And there is a point where he says, like, if I knew that it would end this way, I would do it over and I wouldn't change a day.
Wow.
And it's so beautiful. Like, you know what? This ended terribly. Like, it ended. But, like, we had this beautiful time together and I can appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's pretty mature too, you know, because you know, I know people that have been together for a long time and then they break up, and, you know, I don't know who the first person to say this to me was, but I forget who it was. It might've been my brother, Phil. He was just like, we don't have to vilify her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were together for 17 years. And he said, I think I would say that was a very successful, 15-year marriage.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what do you think Margaret would have said that was? He was like, a very successful 13-year marriage. And, he said, I think she was unhappy longer than I was. So, but you know, the good things that they did do together, and the beautiful parts of every relationship should definitely be celebrated even after it's a mess.
Yeah. I've had that with friendships that have dissolved. And my therapist at one point had to say, she's like, listen, just because that friendship ended does not mean that when it was a friendship, that was not like a valid, meaningful friendship. It just ran its course.
Right. Right. That's a great point. Just because, yeah, there's people that we hang out with and we love, and it can just get sometimes a little broken, you know, or something can happen where you're like, I can't anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I have a couple of brothers anyway, four brothers, you know what those are? Those are spares anyway. So, it doesn't mean I don't love them, but I can't like them right now. So
I totally understand that.
That'll happen. Okay. Yeah. So that sounds really cool. What else you got?
I have You and Me Against the World, which is Helen Reddy covered that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And that one is my wife's my song. Like, oh. We've been together 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been through a lot. And we had like 6 months early on where we had separated and then got back together. But okay. It's like ever since we got back together, that was it. And it's like, we have to figure our way out of whatever bullshit fucked up situation we ended up in.
Right.
Like yeah. Health problems, everything. We're just going to
right. Because
down.
Of life. Yeah. Yep.
And even my sister, she would joke that we had like the worst luck of any people she ever met. And then it's like our forces combined to make like some vortex of bad luck.
Right.
And
then you powered through.
We powered through.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made
on the other side.
Yep. Just gives you a wicked dark sense of humor. And I'm good with that. That
could be worse.
Funnier.
Yep. It's exactly. If at some point you don't laugh, it was, yeah, I think there's challenges that come up in life that if you're alone and you deal with them, they're just, there's no one else to blame.
Yeah.
And if there's a big challenge and you're with someone, you could be like, well, I don't know what to, and you're like, but if you think about if that challenge came up and you were alone, you would have to deal with it anyway.
Yes. Yep.
So try to work together. Is your cat having a really good time behind you?
Yes, he is. He's digging in his litter box. He probably didn't even use it. He just went back there to dig.
Right. And that's fine.
I'm
not here to interrupt the privacy of a kitty cat.
Moments of my cat.
I'm just want everyone to know. I know what that scraping sound is.
Yep. Yep.
All good.
He just likes to come over and dig around in it.
Dig around in it. See what he left yesterday.
Yes.
Anyway, what? Okay, so you got what else you got?
Another one that's just a really cool progression is in the movie Phantom of the Paradise. So he has good. You know what? You're good, pal. he writes Faust, which is this beautiful song, and then it gets taken and twisted into other songs.
Oh.
So it goes from this beautiful ballad to this song Upholstery, which is like a surf song.
Okay.
And then from there, it morphs into the song Special to Me, which is like a dark pop. The guys come out. Oh, no, that's a woman singing that. Then they come out, Somebody Super Like You, and they have the black and white makeup, but they did it before Kiss did it.
Oh. All right.
Which then Kiss tried to sue them for having the makeup, but they had done it before Kiss wore makeup.
Right. There's, I don't know if you look at the release date, friend.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But like you watch, and it was cool to watch him do, all right, so now you have this beautiful ballad. Now it's a surf song. Now it's like this harder rock song. And it's all based off it. I watched this movie like a dozen times before I realized that's what was happening.
Okay. And so what we, let's pretend I don't remember who Faust is.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Faust? Again.
Faust is a bargain. In Faust, the guy bargains. Well,
the devil bargains.
The devil. The devil makes a bargain with this man to not age. Or he
was,
sells his soul to the
Faust
devil.
Was Faust the author? Or is he the monster that creates Frankenstein? Talk to me about Faust.
That's an excellent question, because all I know is Faust sells his soul to the devil, I believe, for success.
Right. So, the Faustian bargain.
Yes.
Is the deal. But who wrote Faust? Oh, 16th century legend of Johann Georg. And this is an AI overview, because that's what Google's doing now. So, a German magician and alchemist, it was famously dramatized in plays like Christopher Marlowe's Dr. Faustus and Goethe? Remember that guy? Goethe? Remember that guy? I can't pronounce it, but he wrote Faust. And so, but it's based on an old legend. About
yes.
a guy who made a thing, but then people wrote plays about it. And so the song Faust Yes. Written by Paul Williams.
Yep.
In a Phantom.
Phantom of the Paradise.
Phantom of the Paradise.
Yep.
Is just more of that. It's about
yes.
that.
Yep.
And is it about the deal, an actual Faustian deal in that song?
Yeah. The song itself is not really.
Interesting.
I guess, okay, you know what, now that I'm thinking about the lyrics.
Yeah.
Not myself last night. I couldn't set things right with apologies or flowers. Oh, yeah. And I'd sell my soul. I'd sell my soul for one love.
That's the only reference?
I'd sell my soul for one love who'd stand by me and take away the sadness or ease my loneliness. So I guess, yeah.
Give me back the gift of laughter.
Yes.
And one love who would stand by me, who would stand by me. And after making love, we dream a bit of style. We dream a bunch of friends. We dream each other's smile. We dream it never ends. So I swore I'd sell my soul for. And that's all it yes. is. It's just a reference to yes. Faust.
Yes.
You know what Paul Williams might be? Well read.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that for him. Yeah. So, that and so what happens in the play in the movie is that they take that original song.
Yes.
And do you think that that's a metaphor for him actually selling out?
I think so. Paul Williams plays the evil record executive who steals the song Faust from
the guy.
Yeah, the guy who becomes the phantom in this club. Yeah, the guy who's playing the piano. And turns it in to these other songs that he okay. is so just disturbed by. He's like, they offer to buy it. And he's like, no, this is not just a song. It's a whole cantata that I'm writing.
Okay.
And it's funny because when he says this to one of Paul Williams' henchman in the movie, the guy goes, what is this, school time? Enough with the sonata. Just give me the...
Yeah, yeah, that's very funny.
And it's like inches, like a foot thick of this thing he's writing. And he's looking for this muse to be able to sing it.
Ah, okay. So he's got the music. He just doesn't, he can't find the person that he thinks is... that he's going to fall in love with that will be yes. worthy of all of this.
And he eventually finds it.
Okay.
Finds this woman.
Spoiler alert. A movie from the 12th century. and it's a love story. Yeah. He finds his love interest.
Yes. But it doesn't go well. Because he, so I have it's this sort delightful of, little
that's
action
not surprising.
Figure that my wife bought me.
You have a Phantom of the Paradise yeah. action figure.
Yes. And he gets deformed.
Oh, does he get deformed because it's a yeah. Phantom of the Opera? Yeah.
Yeah, and he loses his voice. He's like gurgling. So Paul Williams it's this whole scene where he's working at a console and he's plugging all these things in. And at some point he goes, filters, and he slides the filters up. And finally it gets to a voice he likes, which is his own voice. So when he's singing, it's Paul Williams' voice. Kind of yes. mixed and modulated. And when he talks, he has this box and he just goes, the woman he falls in love with who has this amazing talent is Jessica Harper. Her character okay. is Phoenix. So he just goes, Phoenix, Phoenix.
And does Jessica Harper get to sing?
She does. She sings this song Special to Me. She auditions for that. And with that song. And that's a really fun song. It's about a couple where the one partner wants to go off and do something special with their life. And the woman okay. saying, well, you're special to me just the way you are.
Right, right. Aw.
And then she sings this other song, Old Souls. And okay. it's about being reborn and reborn and reborn again with this person.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That one, the Phantom specifically wrote for her. And this was Jessica Harper's first movie.
What did she go on to do? Did she go on to work?
She did an Italian horror movie called Suspiria, where she's a ballet dancer.
Okay.
She also did the sequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show called Shock Treatment. It's not a good movie, but she's really good in it. She takes over the Janet part. Because, shockingly, the other cast members did not want to come back to reprise their roles in a...
Every Ranger of the Dark Forest is going, where has Catherine Walker been my entire life? She belongs on this podcast. That is outstanding. Yeah. Okay. What I will definitely be watching this movie, Phantom of the Paradise. I don't know where it's streaming. I'll figure it out.
You'll find it. I know I found it a couple last year. We went to my friend's house for dinner on my birthday, and I was like, listen, I'll come over and I'll let you buy me dinner and cake, but we have to have pizza and we have to watch this movie.
Oh, fair enough.
And they don't have devices to watch things because...
Oh, which they've given up the world of devices. They're going to regret that.
Well, they're in their 70s, so I guess they're...
Right, the regret will be short-lived.
It will.
Yes.
I constantly get annoyed by that. I'm like, well, I could bring this movie over, but you got rid of your devices.
Right, you should also buy them a device.
I should.
Or go to my dad's apartment building where you could get a free DVD player any day of your life.
Yeah, we're a physical media family. We have records, CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays. We haven't upgraded in 4K yet because our TV is going to live forever.
Right, we haven't upgraded to 4K either, but I do keep buying DVDs because I assume that they will take them away.
Yes,
at they some
will.
Point. And I would like to continue toddler-like to watch the movies I want to watch over and over and over again. So,
and like, I'll stream for example, it sometimes we don't have convenience.
We don't have Apple. Yes, totally. But Apple TV, we don't have it. And that is
what
Charlie Brown Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving is on. But I have the DVDs.
Yes.
So it don't matter to me.
Yeah.
I just bzzzt, bzzzt, bzzzt.
Yeah. Bzzzt. We own the
then
Garfield
I watch the thing
specials.
I want to watch.
We watch the Garfield specials every year. And Garfield? We have them on DVD. Garfield. Garfield's Halloween special is a straight up banger.
Note to self. Just because Garfield, I have a friend, Brandy Brown. She has done this program. She does crop art, you guys. That's the episode. She has strong feelings about Garfield. And it is negative. She is a Heathcliff person?
I liked them both.
Oh, was there a Heathcliff Halloween?
I don't think I've seen Heathcliff. I don't know if Heathcliff had Halloween, but I watched both shows as a kid. I loved both of them. I couldn't get enough cats as a child.
Right.
So did my wife. My wife watched both of them. She's more of a Heathcliff, more of a Garfield, but that's just because my wife is grumpy and likes food. So.
Oh, fair enough. Right. Who doesn't like lasagna? Who's made of stone?
Yep.
Okay. So, what's next?
I forgot
great,
to say.
Great interview. What else you got?
So, Paul Williams, when he was young, he was short. He didn't, just magically shrink. His parents worked with the doctor and gave him some medication or something that was supposed to help him grow.
Right.
It did not, because he's 5'1" or 5'2". However, that's what made his voice so deep.
Oh.
It kicked him into puberty really early, so he no longer grew, and then his voice just got really deep, which is how he got acting roles, because it was like, look at this little guy with this really deep voice.
Right,
that's
right,
weird.
Right. Look at this freak show that we're going to somehow take advantage of.
He also thought he was he's like, I don't know, I thought I was going to go out to Hollywood and be like a leading man, and then he laughs, because he's like, who, on what planet would I have been a leading man, especially back then?
I know. And it's so, it's if you move to Los Angeles and you take an acting class, you will immediately find out what you will be typecast as, right? This is very much airport cop on a good day, possibly a lawyer, judge, but mostly just somebody's aunt or mom.
Yep.
And that's fine. But
somebody's lesbian neighbor.
Somebody's lesbian neighbor. I do whatever you want. It's come on, but I will take the work. And Yeah, so that's that is interesting. But they did that with my cousin Darren. They gave him a bunch of drugs to try to make him grow. Yeah. And he was like, eventually he ended up being like 5'5 or 5'6. Yeah. And he was like, I'm not going to be tall, it turns out.
Yeah.
You can't make it
no.
be tall.
Yeah. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to live a perfectly fine life.
Yeah, it's so interesting that there were drugs to try to make. I wonder if there still are.
I feel like
there must
be. Probably. Well, now it's just all the hormones and everything make you a giant.
Oh, right. Maybe they're roiding people up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's what. Were there steroid treatments to before that to get you all? Remember?
Well, there had to have been.
Yeah.
Which will also stunt your growth.
Right. I don't think that's supposed to, it's supposed to do all kinds of things to your parts.
Yes.
To your dangle gender.
It'll stunt those for sure.
Right. So just play the hand you're dealt with, people. Anyway, it'll be fine. There's no reason. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I have one more song to mention.
Please do, because we're close to almost an hour.
In Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, there is a song called Ain't No Hole in the Washed Up. And they're singing about, like, how, you know, life is hard. They're poor. There's poor little Otter family. But at least there's one thing going for them. There ain't no hole in their washed up.
Okay.
Right. And there's a line where it says, if you look on the bright side, falling down's a free ride.
That's funny.
And that sticks with me so hard when, like, shit's going real bad.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, well, falling down's a free ride.
Paul Williams has really given you a very beautiful outlook on life, I will say.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Well, that and a lot of therapy. But, but like, that hit once when we were watching it, and I just went... That is the most Paul Williams-y of Paul Williams lines ever. Falling down's a free ride.
I'm willing to call it. I think that is a great way to... I mean, the thing is we have been talking with Catherine Waka. And Catherine Waka, Waka spelled W-A-C-H-A. Catherine's with a C. That's her Instagram. She's got a bandcamp.com. We've talked about Paul Williams. I've learned a lot of things I forgot about Paul Williams that I knew before, and then a lot of things I never knew about Paul Williams. And now I want to go watch a couple of different movies that are either about Paul Williams or have Paul Williams in them. Thank you so much for doing the show, Catherine. This has been a delight.
Thank you very much. This has been so much fun.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?